We've gotten a good bit of rain today. Looks like it's moving on out, though. Hope everybody doing well after an eventful weekend, to say the least. The Auburn basketball team is they are now unanimous number one in both polls, both the AP and the coaches poll, after that 53-51 win over the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday night, in which Auburn scored the last 6 points of the ball game to come from behind. It was a game that was never, as a matter of fact, after the first few minutes, Auburn had a 16-10 in the first half, and that was the lead either team had. Tennessee's largest lead was matched at its last lead at 147, but as I said, Auburn scored the last 6 points, won it 53-51. So without that, a big junior day weekend, Auburn picks up a commitment for the 2025 football class. There's some new additions to the Auburn football staff. We now have the participants for the Super Bowl. What have I left out? I mean, some of the top things from over the weekend. You're absolutely right. Softball starts next week. Baseball starts
2.5.
Yeah. So softball starts a week from Friday. Yeah. Baseball starts 2 weeks from Friday. So we can talk about all those things and much more here on the Monday edition of The Drive. And we're coming to you from one of our favorite places, and that is Franklin Tire here on East University Drive. They've been here in this location for decades, 2004, as a matter of fact, and here in the Auburn area for half century. And, you know, they were able to leave their vehicle. I had to trip down to Alabama and that was the game. And on the way back, I thought, I'm going to need to see them because my chicken came on. But I sort of figured it out. Things as simple as your gas cap, none. I'd stopped in Greenville and gotten a little gas on the way back, and the check engine light came on, and I thought, oh, man, this is – so I'm slowing down. I'm going, I've got to get home, though. I couldn't turn around and head back down to South Alabama. I was more than halfway back, so I putted sort of all the way home, and when I got home, I thought, let me put a little more gas in, but then I'll start checking things, put more gas in the check engine light as soon as I got this. But I mean – They have the real diagnosticians here. I mean, and can take care of anything you need with your vehicle. I mean, from minor, from small, from routine to, you know, just regular oil changes, things like that. I mean, they've got the great selection of Firestone, Bridgestone tires here at Franklin Tire. Great mechanics and great body shop as well. And, you know, it's a name that everybody knows. Here at Franklin Tire. So we're here with you today at Franklin Tire. You heard Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. B-Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Always great to be in here for a couple hours. It's fun, quality.
Well, yeah, especially, you know, after a pretty dang good weekend.
Yes, it was. Terrific win by Auburn Saturday night. One of the more impressive junior days as far as the talent that Auburn brought in. It just seems like every time they get an opportunity to bring players in like this, they do a must.
Yeah, and we mentioned Auburn adding a commitment as a local product. Omar Madsen from Auburn High School deciding today that he's going to sign with Auburn next week.
Yeah, and to me, I think this is a bigger pickup than I may have thought 2 weeks ago. I saw him came over to the complex. I think it was Saturday, and I just barely recognized him. He was bulked up tremendously.
He is a solid,
yes,
solidly built young man.
I don't know if he's 17 or 18 right now, but, you know, and I've seen him play in person. Tremendous quickness, speed, not afraid of a little contact.
Mm-hmm.
Add some size to that, buddy, and I have a good running back.
I mean, and he had two just tremendous seasons, sophomore and junior years. And remember, this is 7A football, and this is the as good a region as there is in the state in the highest classification of football in this state.
They have about 1,400 yards.
There's over 15 this year and 29 touchdowns.
impressive.
Yeah, he is a very impressive young man and an outstanding player and a great addition, I think, to the signing class.
Reclassifying for 2025, graduating this spring, right?
Yep.
Will be in presumably this summer and can still be as involved as one would think living in the county.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Like, he can be over at the complex, you know, every day if he wants.
Well, you know, that's interesting because Malcolm Simmons, the guy that came in the summer,
mm-hmm.
too. But if you go back to spring practice,
he was always there
every single day watching and learning. And he took advantage of that because, you know, he stepped in as a guy who did not go through the spring or through the workouts or through half of the summer and came in and played right away and was the Robin's best freshman.
It's great to be back. Great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Wonderful. It's been a while. Yeah, I haven't been here since.
Dan was on last Monday.
I left when it just started snowing.
Oh, wow.
And when I got back Saturday night, there was no evidence of any winter weather at all.
Still some at my house last night.
Yeah. So
I was gone today.
But I missed the bulk of the blizzard of 25.
Was it snowing at all when you left?
So it was snowing on my way down to Troy, and we caught the bus all the way up. And what I'm told is, we narrowly avoided that gum up on 85 on Tuesday because we were headed to Atlanta on Tuesday morning, and we got to our hotel sort of just in the nick of time to avoid the roads getting really bad on the way to Atlanta. And then we flew out Wednesday from Atlanta. Here's the problem. Like, it was a great plan. We got on the plane, you know, with plenty of time. When we got to the airport on Wednesday, it was the longest line I've ever seen in my life
to go through security
on Wednesday morning, because everyone who tried to leave after the national championship game on Monday night, they couldn't get out on Tuesday for the most part. So a lot of those folks were still trying to get out on Wednesday. Plus you had the normal Wednesday traffic in Atlanta. I imagine
a lot of people that were planning on going on Thursday or something that wanted to try to do just like you guys were and try to move it up a little bit.
So we had a couple of players who didn't get out of the Atlanta airport until very late Wednesday night. They basically spent, you know, a 12 to 14 hour day in the Atlanta airport waiting to get on the next flight to Texas. The Trojans responded by scoring 105 points, winning by 40. It was the most they've ever won a road game by.
We saw that score
on Thursday. Dropped the game Saturday. You know, they always get Louisiana's best shot. Cajun Dome's a tough place to play. They got two big road games against contenders this week. Southern Mississippi State they shoot 43s a game at Arkansas State. So it's going to be, we're going to have a couple of fun ones this week. It feels like big road game atmospheres, you know, big fight atmospheres. Speaking of which, I feel like Neville Arena Saturday night is one of those all time.
Saturday night, as you're watching the game, you really couldn't help but think this is exactly what Tennessee's want. They wanted that slugfest, slow down. And man, it was a physical battle. Neither team. I thought Auburn early on had a few good looks. They didn't hit them.
And then after that,
Tennessee tightened it up and seemed it was tougher to get open looks, and nobody was hitting them. And it was crazy. A first half in which there was one 3-pointer made, and it was by Jani Brown.
I know, that's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I thought the atmosphere was incredible. It's just hard for me to believe that this is the first top 10 matchup in Auburn. And they could play two more in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, the next few weeks, absolutely they could. I mean, well, part of that is because Auburn hasn't been ranked in the top 10.
And the SEC hasn't
many
been.
Times. Yeah. The SEC hasn't, if not for Kentucky usually, then there haven't been many top 10 teams. But, no, what a it wasn't the prettiest game. But, man, I mean, it was the pressure was there. And, you know, Miles Kelly, Auburn ends up making three threes. Miles makes two
down the
stretch, including one in the final 30 seconds of the game for the game winner.
And Jani Brown, you got to give him credit.
He misses
a shot, gets his own rebound, is falling out of bounds, makes that perfect pass to Miles, who, I mean, the ball barely is in his hands for a half a second. He's putting it in the back of the net, and it's a terrific job by him to hit that shot.
16 and 13. For Jani, who is the SEC Player of the Week.
How about that?
Missing last week.
Don't see that very often.
No, you don't. You don't see it very often where a player only plays one game as Player of the Week. All right. Again, we're coming to you from Franklin Tire here on East University Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews, MauburnSports.com. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Four Seasons Federal Credit Union. Homegrown and member owned.
For 60 years, Four Seasons Federal Credit Union has been your trusted partner in financial services. With our awesome products and services, competitive rates, and lower fees, we've helped countless members achieve their financial goals. Join us so we can help you. Accounts federally insured by NCUA. Membership eligibility required. Some restrictions apply. Ask for more details.
Your dream event starts at Acre. From corporate events, holiday parties, rehearsal dinners, and weddings, let Acre help make your dream event a reality. Acre Restaurant in downtown Auburn, offering in-house event space as well as catering options for off-site events, live-action fire stations, oyster stations, buffet or family style, and so much more. You and your guests will not be disappointed. With unmatched upscale hospitality, Acre can turn any event into an experience like no other. For more information, go to acreauburn.com and fill out the form under the private dining tab.
At University Ace Hardware, we're excited to reward our loyal customers. Get an extra 5% off your purchase for being a valued Ace Rewards member. Show your Ace Rewards card or enter your rewards phone number at checkout and use code LOYALTY to receive your bonus discount. It's our way of saying thank you for your continued support. Not already an Ace Rewards member? Simply ask to sign up at no additional charge. Visit University Ace next to the movie theater in Auburn and take advantage of this in-store only offer. We look forward to seeing you soon.
From the big screen to the Broadway stage.
Welcome to Hollywood! What's your dream?
One of Hollywood's most beloved films is now one of the world's most romantic musicals, Pretty Woman the Musical. Brought to life by an incredible creative team representing the best of music, Hollywood, and Broadway, Pretty Woman the Musical will lift your spirits and light up your heart.
At the Googe Performing Arts Center in Auburn, February 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Tickets and info now at the box office and at googecentertickets.auburn.edu.
Agave Bar and Grill brings delicious, authentic Mexican dining to downtown Auburn. Family-owned and operated, proudly featuring a menu inspired by the many pueblos of Mexico. Each dish is a festival of flavor. Agave is on the corner of West Glen and Wright Street. Parking is free in the West and Wright deck. Open Monday through Saturday, 4 till 10 p.m., closed Sundays. Agave Bar and Grill in Auburn and in Columbus.
Franklin Tire and Auto is your one-stop automotive. ArcAir, trust Franklin's ASE-certified technicians. And for precision collision repair, Franklin's state-of-the-art body shop can fully restore any make or model. With free estimates, insurance claims welcome, and 24-hour towing, all at one stop. Since 1970, Franklin Tire and Auto, East University Drive, across from CC's Pizza, and at franklinautoinc.com.
You're live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com coming to you from Franklin Tire. So we're here until 6 o'clock. Love for you to join in. I mean, it's not the – this may not be the nicest weather to be, you know, just driving around if you want to stop in and say hey. But you can join us by calling the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box. Presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, we started talking a little bit about the basketball. Auburn now 18-1 with two road games this week.
Yeah. Broom Player of the Week. I don't think he's the only one you single out, though.
Oh, right? No.
I mean, a game like
– but I'm telling you, 33 minutes. He didn't start the game. Play the first couple of minutes. Then he played 33 of the last 37 or 38 minutes.
And Bruce is only playing about 20 or so minutes, but that changed when he got into it.
Magnificent, too. I mean, considering the stakes of this game and considering his considering that he's coming back from having missed several games with an ankle injury. Scary moment late, right, when he lands on that compromised leg. Hopefully he's
and you could tell, okay. I mean, you could tell early on when he was warming up, he looked fine. you could tell sort of early on he's favoring it a little bit. And then, Brian, there was one time there in the second half when there was a ball that was tipped and started to go out of bounds. Jani normally gets that.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't. I mean, he just couldn't quite get to it. I mean, so but every possession in that ball game felt so critical, didn't it? I mean, it was like must. You know, score Auburn, especially down the stretch, had to. I mean, look, we only had 42 points in the first half total. It was 22-20 at the half, and neither team was shooting 30% at halftime. And look, Tennessee, there's no question they are deservedly, you know, one of the best defensive teams in the country. So I mean, and Auburn is too. So I mean, they both made it really difficult. Or the other. I mean, you look at the stats and they're almost dead even. And that's the kind of ball game that one was.
And, you know, Bruce talked afterwards how Auburn players left that floor with a lot of respect for Tennessee, as tired maybe as they'll be from any game this season, just because they had to play defense so intensely for such a long time.
Oh, yeah.
To win that game. And I think Tennessee was the same way. I think both teams just put it all out on the floor.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, when we were talking about the fact that Auburn has two road games, I think they're fortunate that their next game is Wednesday and not tomorrow night, that they've got that extra day before they play.
I agree. It gives Jani Broome a little bit more time to rest up and heal up. And the rest of this team put in a lot of energy. It was a physical game. You know, that extra 24 hours can mean a lot, especially going on the road. And, you know, LSU played much
better. Bama. They played Bama tough.
Better. They got a new player in that was a football player, I guess, played decently, did some things for them. And then, you know, you're staying on the road going to Ole Miss. So this is going to be
a pretty good Ole Miss team. Yeah,
this is going to be a tougher week than people may think. Just because Auburn's won all these games, beat all these great teams, doesn't mean they can't go to a place like LSU or Ole Miss and not get upset or get beat when they're not expecting to.
Well, I mean, you've gotten team's best shot. Right. Yeah. When you think about Auburn going on the road in conference this year, Texas, South Carolina, Georgia were all games that it wasn't like Auburn ran away from any of those teams. And I think LSU, I think LSU might be better than South Carolina, who's still looking for their first conference
Agreed.
Win.
I mean, I think South Carolina's a pretty good team. They're 0-6.
And they're probably underdogs in their next five or six in conference too. Like South Carolina's looking at like an 0-12, 0-13.
I mean, they are a solid team.
Yeah. And I know. And for a team that probably would have been middle of the pack in the SEC a couple of years ago. Yeah, they might not win a game to start league That's play crazy. For, you know, well into February. But the LSU that Auburn's going to face, you know, in Baton Rouge, I wonder what kind of atmosphere you're going to see, just because yesterday morning I was looking at this during the podcast with Justin, and there were, you know, the get-in price is about $4 if you want to sit on the top levels of the Pete on Wednesday night. That's the number one team in America coming in.
Yeah. If you want to see Auburn and you haven't been able to see them, this is an opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, shockingly low prices for the higher levels.
Well, I mean, that's a good-sized arena, and, you know, they just haven't done anything to, you know, excite their fans.
They packed it for their women last year.
Yeah.
But you got to
win.
Yeah, you do. And this is where LSU, so this year. And you know what? And I thought about this too. Will Wade, something of a pioneer, right, as far as what he was doing to get players a couple of years ago.
He was ahead of his time. Is that what you're saying?
He
wasn't the only one.
Everybody's got those big offers now.
How about this, Bill? Will Wade ever coach again in the SEC?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, why not?
McNeese is pretty good.
They are.
McNeese is pretty good again, and they were a 30-win team last year. So we'll
maybe
see.
Maybe LSU will take them back.
We'll see if the Will Wade story is completely finished. But Auburn, So I mean, so you get a team's best shot, but I would think Auburn we'll see how it goes. The guys from Saturday night, Miles, Tahad. I mean, you think about.
Tahad really. I mean, you look at it, and Tahad. Tahad hit three shots. Miles only made two shots in the game, and they were those two threes. Auburn's three primary guards went 5 for 30, and Auburn won the game.
Those might be the two best teams on the perimeter that you're going to see all season long defensively.
The way
they close. I mean, I didn't come away from that game thinking either of those teams were bad offenses. I know Tennessee has had some games where they're extremely cold and the numbers aren't
especially
promising.
On the road.
Yeah, but I they're still I would have a hard time listing too many teams better.
Yeah.
Like thinking about who's better than that Tennessee team Auburn played. And you know the question I raised on the Observer podcast, Bill, is how many teams has Auburn beaten in the Pearl era that are better than that Tennessee team that Auburn saw on Saturday? That's a huge win over a team that, you know what, you could very
and they're
well,
4-3 in the conference.
And they're 4-3 in the conference now, but what, 17-3 overall? I mean, it's a and the losses are Florida and Auburn, which are totally respectable, although Florida destroyed
Florida blew them out.
Florida destroyed them.
Florida's pretty scary.
Florida's they pretty are. Scary.
Auburn is fortunate to have them at home.
You're
still
going
to be a tough team to beat. Oh, absolutely. They're so good at the guard position.
Yeah, folks who want to prematurely, and I think Auburn and Tennessee might be when the dust settles in March. You know, they might be two of the last SEC teams standing.
Maybe.
Like I think that's possible, but it's not a runaway. No. You've got that team in Tuscaloosa, although fascinating second half situation.
Yeah.
With Mark Sears
and his mother.
fascinating deal there. You've got a Missouri team that just keeps winning. Right.
Yeah, they're 5-2 now.
You've got a Missouri team that's 5-2 in the league, and you've got
I think Florida is a team to watch.
And you've got Florida. And you've got Florida who could be as good as anybody.
They're getting some guys, at least one player back has been injured. Their guard play has been outstanding. That's the type of build for a team that you need to watch out for in March.
But at the top of that list, you've got the Auburn Tigers, the unanimous number one team in the
country. Yeah, unanimous number one for the second week in a row.
Would have been tough to drop them after the winning of Tennessee. I mean, one of the most impressive.
You beat another top 10 team. So this is now, you know, Bruce always talks about making history, and that this is history. This is the longest sustained period of Auburn being ranked number one because it's the third week.
Last time we were at Franklin and we talked about things that resemble crowd control, I got yelled at and someone didn't want me to have a happy Thanksgiving. What do you guys make of Saturday morning?
They messed up.
Yeah, I agree. Now, does that mean that they should say, okay, everybody can camp? That look, there needs to be a way.
Middle ground.
And there needs to be a way to be able to get students in. But it's tough, especially if you're just going to open things up and go, okay, everybody proceed orderly in an orderly fashion. But the first folks in are going to get the wristbands for the tickets for tonight.
I've used this joke elsewhere and it's not a joke. I just think it's an easy stance to take. We're all anti-trampling.
Yeah.
Here. Like, I just want to say like,
I have been since the Who concert.
It's an easy stance. It's an easy stance to take.
We're
anti-trampling. And so you hope people take care of each other and look out for one another. But there have been too many crowd control disasters to where it's not just a human behavior thing. It's an institutional thing where there need to be changes. This was a perfect storm.
This goes back to English football in the 80s. And I'm sure before that.
It goes back to the Who.
The Who, yeah. Cincinnati.
It's Cincinnati.
And
what year was that?
That was the 70s.
Okay. Yeah, there's an episode of the WKRP about the, you know, the Who disaster. But there have been so I would think that it's a perfect storm of the weather, making it to where you couldn't have the normal procedure, and also the weather playing a role, I think, in making it more dangerous on the sidewalk and in the, you know, the barricades. I suggested, and again, I'm not an expert in this field, and I'm, you know, just a guy who's been on campus a few times. Yeah. Maybe Beard Eves could have been the middle ground as a staging area to keep people warm and keep people from out of the way of what was happening.
I'm sorry,
Neville
but
Arena.
It's closed to the public on the weekends now. They have security in there that won't let you in.
But you could have maybe as a contingency.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you're looking for a contingency plan from the camping. Maybe something overnight at Beard Eves Coliseum would have worked to keep people where you get numbers, you get crowds. You know, and again, I'm spitballing here.
I was wondering about the Coliseum, or you know, maybe the student act or something to the old
student act, you know, that has the ballrooms.
Yes, something trying to figure where you could. All right, they could stay warm. They're there, and they go ahead and get their wristbands or something like that.
But I think it's.
But then some of them would have. I mean, go on. They all wanted to go to game day too. It's not like oh, somebody's going to take a wristband and then leave. A couple might.
Do you think you could have brought people over in groups of 50 or 100, and it might have been a little more orderly?
No, that wouldn't have helped, because there would have been people going, I'm not waiting for the next shuttle or bus or whatever. Oh. I'm going.
Oh man,
It's not an easy problem to solve.
I know. It's too bad. But the
The other option that you have is getting back to what we used to have.
The dogs.
Well, no.
The hounds.
No. I mean that students have to pay a little something and they get season tickets and that's who's going.
Interesting.
You know, I mean and that's not what they want, because they want the ones that want to be there the most and get there the earliest to be the most rabid fans.
You were part of the university for a very long time, Bill. I mean, you would say maybe just a long time. I don't want to say very long time.
Well, it was a long time.
Okay, all right, a long time. But you've seen them plan for things like this. Maybe, you know, there are areas they could have tried. I don't know.
There haven't. But the thing is, other than basketball, the last couple of years, there really hasn't been anything quite like this.
These things happen sometimes.
Yeah.
The thing I didn't like about it the most was putting out a press release that was blatantly wrong, and the hours afterwards blaming on the students when that's not necessarily the case. There were two minor injuries.
Part of it is. That wasn't the case either. Part of it is, but then.
But as we talked
while
about,
while you're doing that, are you if you're proceeding orderly and everybody's running past you, then great, you're the one that did what they asked, and you're probably not going
to
get in.
Right, but history tells us in those situations you have to plan really well for what could happen, and you have to have
especially after you said, all right, you can't be out here camping out in front of the door.
Yeah, so I mean, acknowledging, you know, this is hindsight, and there were extenuating circumstances all around here at the same time. Yeah, you hope something safe can be cooked up in the event something like this happens again. I would say dodged bullet that there wasn't a very serious injury.
Right.
You know, easy for me to say as far as the
I got 6 inches in my face. I would consider that a pretty serious injury.
No, for sure. You know, but I'm saying you know what you would look at if we've read the workman's comp books, Bill, like what you would call a critical
injury. Being crushed to death is much worse.
A maiming. Do we still use maim as a verb? Like, you know, if something happened, like, you know, it was so hopefully. Yeah, it's everybody takes a deep breath and there's relief that it mostly went off without a hitch.
The next time, students aren't just going to proceed in an orderly fashion. I mean, if there's got to be something in place for the next possibility.
Bring in the Central Park Rangers from Elf, right? On, you know, and gotta keep them in.
One thing that Brian, you know, our new entrant. Dan's been in it too. That's right. Our new entryway. Apparently, you know, under those stairs, when you come in, you see there's stairs right there. And on the back side of that, there's another door. Doesn't have an outside handle. But apparently, some students had figured out that if they could come down those stairs, they could use something to prop that door open, and it would let some other students come in that way.
Genius.
You know what? Make them all go through that door, and they'll go in one at a time, right? There's your.
The door may get knocked off, and who knows?
And then we get in a little quicker.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And best wishes to anyone who was. And you know, it's not. And I'll tell you this too, not just physical injuries. I'm sure folks who were, you know, who narrowly avoided disaster could be somewhat.
Yeah, Brian, you can do this for amusing around the 1st of December.
Light story.
It was December 3rd, 79. 11 people died.
Yeah, it was terrible. Well, I mean, in Cincinnati with the Who concert. People died at a Liverpool match back in, I think it was 89, 88, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so.
Travis Scott in Houston a couple of years ago, the disaster, the crowd disaster at the football stadium. I mean, these things have happened, and you want people to do the right thing, and you want people to look out for one another. It's not just as simple. It's not that simple.
You're absolutely right. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break again.
And, you know, briefly before we go to break, too, since we're talking about this, there was I believe it was the Oregon game last night, men's basketball. There was another, you know, two teams are mid-argument, mid-crowd storming. You know what I mean? Which could just, you know, you just wonder how that could – anyways, you know, there's things to think about in the world of college athletics this weekend as far as keeping everybody safe.
Yes, and don't put out press releases when you don't know what you're talking about.
A little programming note for you. The voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, usually with us on Tuesdays, but he's got he will be getting on the plane tomorrow as we come on the air. So he will be on with us at 5 today, a little after 5. We'll check in with Andy Burcham. So that's coming up. In the meantime, We've got the phone lines open. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Monday Drive from Franklin Tire.
Back to the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll-free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews coming to you from Franklin Tire here on East University Drive. Love for you to join in. Give us your thoughts on anything that's gone on in the world of sports. Either one of you guys surprised at the outcomes yesterday, the AFC and NFC title games?
I think it was surprising.
I was pulling for Buffalo so much.
Yeah, so was everybody. I think it was.
Wasn't it surprising that Washington got deep fried? Like, I thought maybe that game would
be. It got out of hand. You know, they had a chance. They had chances early.
Turnovers.
The two turnovers, especially early, were the difference in the first half. And then it was just, oh, man. When it got out of hand, it really got out of hand quick.
Yeah, and I still think Jaden Daniels, it's one of the great rookie seasons.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding.
Although Brady made at least one mistake yesterday during that game.
Yeah, he made a couple. I didn't even watch the whole game.
It's fascinating that a hands-on owner is doing color commentary, and it's cool, and it's okay because he's Tom Brady.
That's exactly
right. It would not be allowed any other ex NFL player or coach or GM doing those two things wouldn't be allowed. But with Brady, he said on the broadcast that Jaden Daniels was the first rookie quarterback to ever win two road playoff games in the NFL. First NFC guy to ever do it. Mark Sanchez and Joe Flacco. Both did it as well, but it's still extremely rare
for
someone to have the kind of season. And remember, maybe younger folks won't realize, like, Washington, once proud franchise.
Yes.
80s and 90s.
Oh, yes.
The Hogs.
John Riggins. Yeah. Top tier. Doug.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even, you know, a place with importance locally, because it's the place that drafted Carlos Rogers and Jason Campbell. It was right. Jason Campbell's, you know, entry into the NFL 20 years ago. And for that
20 years ago, that's hard to believe.
To think like that, you know, that franchise had been down for the count for a long time. Yeah. And the right moves and the right spark at quarterback.
Well, getting rid of that owner.
Dan Snyder. Yes. Oh boy. Here they are now. A tremendous first season with
the future looks pretty good. Looks pretty bright.
If you're buying stock, right?
Yeah, kidding.
That's one on the rise.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Sky Bar. Let's get to the phone. And John is up first. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Had a question for y'all. I think y'all have forgotten more basketball than I've ever known. But
lot. I can tell you that.
I'm just confused about something here. So when I saw Rick Barnes in the water bottle, I remember the lights at Alabama last year and thinking maybe that should have been an administrative technical for a delay of game.
I didn't see it when it happened. Both my sons, who were sitting one next to me, one a row down in front, were both all over that. That should have been. Something.
But I just wonder if Rick Barnes would have pulled out a crowbar and taken it to one of the referees, and that's it. Like, if you tee him up then with a minute left. And maybe part of the reason
we've seen some other coaches.
Maybe part of the reason he got away with it was because there might have been some acknowledgement by the referees that there had been contact before the travel on that.
Oh, there wasn't any acknowledgement by the referees that they hadn't have any idea on some of the out of bounds balls.
What bothered me?
It was a terribly called game.
What bothered me more than it being terribly called was that it felt like they brought in a crew from a different country for the second half, right? It was like
I don't know. There were a couple of calls in the first half that I wondered about too.
But it was letting them play.
You're right about that.
And then I think in the second half they started.
If they had called that tight though, I mean, everybody would have fouled out.
You're right, the way things
were going.
But things shifted at the half, I think, as dramatically as far as what was a foul and what wasn't a foul?
I think it had to, or that had been blood on the court.
Or there would have been, yeah. Or there would have,
serious.
It would have just been a.
That was ridiculous. I mean, the first time people call it a rock fight, I was like, man, that wasn't rocks. Those were bricks. Yeah. I mean, they were throwing up bricks, and they were playing like they were hitting.
If you're familiar with the Japanese kaiju franchise, your Godzillas, your Gamoras, things like that, Janai Broome versus Felix down low. Right, like those are two, you know, those are two guys that should be stomping buildings, right? Like that's the kind of battle you're seeing underneath.
Yeah.
If I were Tennessee, I would want Felix to shoot more often, not necessarily like from range, but I think that's maybe something where he's always looking to sort of create for the guards. And sometimes I thought Saturday night there were times when he had pretty good position and he would give it up, because that's not really how the thing's built. It's like, bro, you're big and strong, and he's got a touch on the pass. Like I don't know, but Janai Broome was phenomenal. That, and that was you're right. If they called that tight,
yeah. But John, yeah, to your point, it's hard to believe you can just do that. And maybe the officials thought that was just somebody's water broke or something. It literally did, but I don't know.
Yeah, I did not see that at 5 minutes. Raptors.
And sorry, last thing, maybe it's just me, but I can remember years where Auburn had, you know, 9 healthy scholarship players, and it seemed like every game for a month would be one of these where at both halves we were in the everybody's in the double bonus at the under 8 timeout. And whenever it seems like you get a team on the ropes like that from a scholarship limitation, a healthy scholarship limitation, you never get calls. It's just kind of a funny idiosyncrasy of the game. But thanks, guys.
Hey, appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. If you remember, I called in Friday about Todd Golden. And
the charges have all been dropped. They found nothing to nothing to, you know.
Title IX investigation
continue.
Has ended. Maybe more to
I realized they said they found nothing, but either somebody got paid off or there's going to be another lawsuit because
I feel very strongly there will be a lawsuit.
If Todd Golden's lawyer already mentioned that.
He's threatened one, right. And if he doesn't, then somebody else will coming back at him.
Yeah, well, he might put it out there that he wants to go to court, but I doubt that. I doubt it very seriously.
Yeah, there has been a statement from one of the accusers. Yeah, ESPN.com's story about this includes a statement from an attorney who represents a 21-year-old college student who did not attend Florida. The attorney mentions, quote, although the reported behavior might not fall under the definition of Title IX, there was certainly evidence that there was questionable activity that occurred, unquote. So it might be settled from a university/administrative standpoint.
Yeah, you know, I guess there's some of the allegations that we heard that if that's not a student at Florida, yeah, that's not Title IX. But it doesn't mean it's not sexual.
Doesn't mean it's cool.
Yeah.
There is still an inquiry into Torian Green, who was a Florida player on those Donovan teams. Golden, I guess the story is Golden cleared by the university in the Title IX investigation.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me what y'all think about Tahad Pettiford and Jones toward the end of the game. Do you think, obviously Bruce Pearl, he knows a little bit about basketball, but would y'all prefer Tahad to get a little more minutes
to Denver 32? And I didn't have a chance to ask Bruce about this, but my, I guess, educated guess would be that was because of defense. Maybe Tahad, I didn't see it, but maybe Tahad had some breakdowns he didn't like.
Second straight unsightly plus-minus game for Denver, which I think would make you think.
And he hadn't had many,
I wonder if that's where you think.
And Tahad, wasn't he plus 14 in those 14?
Yeah, so it's hard. Maybe there's more to it. I just not have a chance to ask.
All right, y'all have a great day.
And I mean, Tejada is, I mean, you know, both those guys, you usually feel like, well, it's money if they're fouled. Now, last couple of ball games hasn't exactly been that way.
I could see, kind of like Chad last year, I could see Tejada's second half importance growing as the season goes on. CBM's my guy, right? I mean, go Raiders. But no, I think that could be how Tejada sort of works.
Man,
Tejada's got ever since Jay Williams in the Duke game compared him to young Kyrie Irving as far as his ability to create his own shot and the combination of handle and shake on the jumper and willingness to, like, he wants the ball in big moments. Like those three things, it's a unique combination that might not all be, you know, I don't know how much of that you can coach into a guy and how much of it is something that you need to have hardwired. Like you need to leave the factory
with
some of that.
He left the factory with a lot of good things.
I like to say, Brian, Logan Roy said you had to be a killer.
Yeah.
Auburn went and found one.
Cold-blooded, man.
They went and found one.
He is cold-blooded. And I was just thinking back to, I mean, There were some shots in the ball game. I mean, players took some. You know, I was worried about CBM for a while.
He got decked.
He got decked, and
Denver got decked, if I'm not mistaken.
Came back wearing that title belt or whatever's going on there with the thing on. You know, Topley. Yeah, Chad. Chad is.
And then
Chris, Dylan got
Chris,
decked.
Chris, and that was friendly fire.
My sources tell me Chad is related to Gumby, right? So that guy is able to bounce back from. Yeah.
It is unbelievable sometimes. Looks like he's broken in half.
Yeah, he could drop a.
He looks like one of those stick figures when they're showing you what can happen if you don't wear your seatbelt or something like that. You know,
if you told me that a piano was dropped on Chad Baker Mazar, right, I'd be like, well. He's probably playing Saturday.
He'll flatten out, then he'll pop back up.
Yeah, like Roger Rabbit, right? You need to like pump some air back into him, and he'd be fine. But no, like that's I think that's something to, and we've talked before. I mean, Bruce has made a point to compliment the conditioning level of this team compared to other ones. That shows up in you're not bailing teams out with late bad shots because you're getting tired of playing half court offense. Right. It also shows up in staying healthy. Like these guys able to play this style and play games like Saturday night and be ready to answer the bell on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was it like I said, it wasn't pretty, but it was a huge, huge win for Auburn. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline. Love for you to join in again. Andy Burcham joins us a little after the top of the hour. We'll get to our final break of hour number one, though, right now. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive from Franklin Tire.
The Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Brian, we're coming to you from Franklin Tire here on this Monday. Let's get right back to the Drive Hotline, and Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Today.
Hello, Tay. It's good to hear from you, Tex. I'm glad to be back from the Cajun Dome. But I got to tell you, Lafayette's one of my favorite cities in the Sun Belt. I ate pretty good this past week.
Okay, well, congratulations. My wife Cindy's about 20 miles down the road from Lafayette. So, hey, I'm calling about two things. Number one, thought I'd never be able to say this ever. I can get into the Auburn LSU game in Baton Rouge with somebody giving me tickets, and I can't get into the Auburn LSU game at all if it was at Auburn, unless I wanted to pay $300-400 a seat.
You could buy about 250 tickets to the game tomorrow on Wednesday night for the cost of what it takes to get into
Saturday. I mean, this past Saturday. I mean, you couldn't get standing room for $400.
So it's quite amazing. And just remember, Bill, I went to school with Charles Barkley, Chuck Person, and Chris Morris.
Chris Morris, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So it's just amazing to me. Next up, I guess it might have a little bit to do with the fact that I was raised in a military family. But sooner or later, you got to put accountability on the people that make stupid decisions. And running over people in front of you is a pretty stupid decision, in my opinion.
It is, but now we had Will, as a matter of fact, here at Franklin Tire mentioned, if you're 20 rows back of somebody, you don't know if the person up front fell. You know, yeah. you're still going to keep going. So, I mean, it's really difficult, you know, to
it is, but you still
how much blame to put on who, you know?
Well, I understand, but it's kind of like if you're going to storm the football field and you get hurt jumping into the bushes or running into the chain link fence, it's not the university's fault.
No, but
I'm going to get the video and put it out there, though.
Yeah, if you're storming the football field, though, that's not to get you into the game. I mean, here was the problem. It was like they felt like if you wanted to try to proceed orderly, you wouldn't have been among the people that get the wristbands and get in the ball game. So if you do what they ask, you probably wouldn't have been able to get in. So that's what makes it tough. It's not just, you know, storming the court and celebrating or something. It's trying to get in to make sure that you've got a place when the ball game is played.
It does sound like Tex is with us on this, though, as far as, hey, you know, don't trample.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, hey, you know, whenever you can avoid it, you know,
tread on them.
Yes. Well, and to me, it's pretty simple. Is where the line started is where they should have been handing out the wristbands.
Yeah, the wristband should – I agree. I think wristbands should be given out before, you know, you're trying to get inside and get in line. Whether it's in another place where if the weather's inclement, you've got everybody sheltered, or whether it's out front, then you start giving them there. Then,
yeah. Once folks started running on this, I mean, it looked like something from Home Alone, right, when they started running on the sidewalk and slipping around and things. And then we were saying earlier, Tex, it's – Not to make light of the young lady who suffered the facial injury with the stitches.
Well, she made light of it in a way.
Sure, not to downplay that injuries happened, but it feels like a dodged bullet that someone wasn't hurt really badly.
Yeah,
I would agree with that, but there's ways around it, and it starts with the people that started running.
It has to start with the people that are administrating the event. I mean, that's where it has to start there, so that you've got better order to be followed.
Mm-hmm. Again, if you would have handed out the wristbands and let five people in and then waited and handed out five more and started early enough, you probably don't have that. So Bill, I hate to say this, I'm going to agree with you. No, I'm just kidding. You are a voice of reason. My dad would have told me, don't be a dumb person.
Yeah.
If gotcha. That would have been one of the ones that got trampled.
I'm sure that's exactly what happened.
My grandpa would have had a couple words about those folks trampling,
no
too.
Kidding.
I know. All right, guys. Hey, can't wait till Wednesday night.
We've got more games to call back, but we've got to get to our top of the hour break. We're halfway done here on the Monday Drive from Franklin Tire.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on what has been a wet Monday. A lot of rain today here in the area, but I have some people saying, oh, gee, this is better than the snow. I don't know about that. The snow we got actually last week was a really powdery snow.
It was.
Brian can attest to that.
Yeah,
Brian,
it's been a long time.
We have not talked about this on the air, and I didn't see it, unfortunately, until Tuesday night. I mean, we were caught up in a lot of things going on, and I go to your message board on Tuesday night, and I see Brian had posted a story. Dan, did you hear about this? Brian had posted, was looking for some help, trying to get Yvonne home, get his wife back home.
Yeah, first he tried to come down up Donahue, and it was kind of blocked. Excuse me.
No, it's the cord was just wrapped around it. That's good.
And then she tried and college, and then
Brian lives up Donahue,
North Donahue,
Cannon Ridge.
Yep.
So
Then she tried college and cut over to the left from there. That couldn't go that way. Then tried to go Shelton Mill to 280. Couldn't do that. Eventually, she went back to Donahue, parked at the pool at the
AU club.
Yep, and I kind of took off walking. So here's what they did, Dan.
Yeah, she started walking up Donahue, and Brian left his house and walked, and they met.
Yeah.
And walk back in the snow. Isn't that romantic?
It's like a Hallmark movie.
But here's the best dumb husband story for the next day. So the next day,
I didn't hear this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Me and her go outside to walk the dog, you know, in the snow and stuff. And there's ice on our driveway. It's a driveway.
Yeah,
it's
kind of a hill. You got a serious slope.
So I take my right foot and I tap toward it and say, honey, don't step here. And as soon as I did
there
that,
you go.
Boom, fell right on my butt.
Brian's sliding out into the street.
I got this gigantic bruise right here on my right side. Sprained my wrist a little bit.
Last time I had a bruise like that, I thought it was just a bruise, Brian. Hip replacement. That's coming.
Well, this one's kind of low. It's down here. That's good.
The last.
So, but it's big old black bruise there.
That was the last gasp of Bill's, you know, the hip, right? It was an ice. We had several close calls with the ice, as far as, you know, because we weren't here locally, but traveling to Texas that had just had an ice storm, and then Louisiana, you know, which was still thawing out. It was amazing. You know, the parking lot where you step around the really obvious ice puddle, and then you get the little more subtle one there and do a little bit of sliding, and
you move quick once you hit the ice. There ain't no slow. There's just boom.
Oh yeah, no kidding. When you start going, you're gone.
Yep.
Yeah, we still had a little ice on my drive yesterday.
Wow.
I mean, it lasted for a while. All right. Not that we're just doing snow stories. I mean, we will talk some sports. Yep. And how about we talk to the voice of the Auburn Tigers? Usually with us on Tuesdays, but they're going to be headed down toward Baton Rouge. I believe they'll be in the air tomorrow at our airtime. So we're pleased to be joined by the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, how are you doing, man?
I'm well, Bill. Hope everything's good for you guys at Franklin Tire.
Oh, absolutely. Did you have any adventures in the snow last week?
No. I started home Tuesday as it started to snow. Mm-hmm. And I did not leave the house again until Thursday. So we kept it safe all day Wednesday, and then got out of the house on Thursday, and no trouble at all, thankfully.
Well, that's good. Well, I mean, you're a veteran. You're a vet of this. I mean, you grew up around a lot more snow than most of us did.
That is true, and that's one of the reasons that I decided to stay in.
Absolutely. Well, Andy has sense. That's something that maybe all of us don't.
We're always saying Andy knows better, right?
That's true.
Is another instance of Andy Burton. And Andy, you know, I feel like you got to do your best Howard Cosell or Jim Lampley this weekend, because that was a heavyweight title fight.
Yeah. Wow.
That you called in. You know, you were ringside for that game this weekend.
I was
afraid
we might get a KO or two in there.
The next time those two teams play, they should put a metal cage right around the basketball court.
That was physical.
I guarantee you Tennessee wants another shot at Auburn. They want a shot at Auburn at the SEC tournament or some neutral site beyond. That's as good a defense as Auburn has faced this season. It's as good as any team has played against Auburn from a defending the three-point shot, I thought. Really, on both sides, you can say that. I mean, Tennessee's defense is very good. Their offense, I don't think, is quite as high-powered as Auburn, but I thought Auburn played very well from a defensive standpoint. Here's one thing that Bruce Pearl told his team, and I think you've seen it in some of the social media so far, and he mentioned this in his pregame with me. Tennessee had two losses coming in on Saturday, and they lost at Florida, and they lost at Vanderbilt. And in his opinion, they were out-physical in both of those games. And he told his team, to win this game, we've got to be as physical or perhaps even more physical. And he said it more forcefully than I am right now to his team. And I thought his team at least matched Tennessee's physical nature on Saturday. And it was a very physical basketball game, and we had guys that left the floor and came back. Chad Baker Mazzara, Chris Moore left and did not come back, but I'm told that he is practicing or was working out with the team today. And then we saw the return of Jahni Broom, and it's interesting. Jahni Broom is the SEC Player of the Week because of one game.
Yeah.
He literally played in one game and came off the bench with his 71st career double-double. But Auburn doesn't win that game without Jahni. Now, they don't win that game without Miles or Denver or anyone else, but they had played basically 2.5 games without Jahni and had wins in all three of those games. They don't beat Tennessee without Jahni on set, in my opinion.
Yeah, Tennessee plays like a team from a city where the mayor is a professional wrestling champion. And sure enough, that's exactly what they are. Yeah. Is, you know, former the guy who was Kane for a long time in WWE. Okay. He's the mayor of Knoxville. All right. I did not know that.
They don't call it Knoxville for anything.
That's not a joke. Right. Glenn Jacobs is the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. You can look that one up. But this is there, you know, among the remarkable, you mentioned a couple of guys that Auburn doesn't win the game without, Andy, and you know, for as good as the team was last year, I'm struck by how often we're saying it's the contributions of a newcomer like Miles Kelly or Tahad Pettiford, the moment Tahad Pettiford, that helps Auburn in a high leverage situation.
He scored 5 straight points for Auburn on Saturday and did it both times by going to the basket. It wasn't his 3-point shooting on Saturday, but at one point of that second half, he scored 5 straight points, getting to the basket, getting to the rim the first time, and then the second time, getting to the rim, making his shot, and being fouled on the play. You don't win the game without the 2 threes that Miles Kelly hit from the top of the key in the second half, and of course, the game winner in the corner. And I really didn't appreciate the offensive rebound of Jahni until I got a couple different angles of his drive to the basket, his miss. Look how close he is to being out of bounds when he gathers in his offensive rebound and gets it into the corner to Miles. I mean, there's no room for error there on Saturday. Auburn kept its turnovers down for the most part on Saturday. Listen, another look at Zakai Ziegler's 3-pointer from the right corner, which would have given Tennessee the lead.
Yeah.
I mean, that ball's in the cylinder and comes out. And both teams had that happen to them in the second half on Saturday. I mean, it was a razor's edge difference on Saturday between Auburn and Tennessee. And I the Vols can't wait to get Auburn again. Auburn not backing down in that matchup either. I think Auburn can be a whole lot better offensively against a Tennessee ball club. But that game Saturday, you could tell from the beginning it was going to be close and it was going to be physical. And in some regards, it was going to be an ugly rock fight on Saturday. And Auburn won that ugly rock fight on Saturday to remain undefeated in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, from the first few minutes of the ball game, Auburn had a couple of decent looks, I felt, early on, Andy, and just didn't make them. Yeah. And then Tennessee got even tighter on the ball, and shots just weren't going to drop. It was crazy that at halftime there's 1 3-pointer in the game, and it was Jahni's, and Auburn only hit 3. You mentioned the 2 by Miles. Those were the only threes Auburn hit in the entire game.
Tennessee hit 4, and they all came in the second half.
Right.
By 2 different guys, by Ganey and Lanier. I mean, there were only 7 made threes in that ballgame, and these are two teams that shoot the 3 pretty well. Now, Tennessee's the best 3-point shooting defense in the Southeastern Conference. And listen, you knew there was going to be a game this year, and I hope it's just one game, where it just didn't fall for Auburn, despite some pretty good looks. I mean, you know, it happened last year at Appalachian State, and Auburn didn't get out of there with a win. This year, and hopefully it's the only one, but you can't be guaranteed of that, it happened against an outstanding defensive team, and yet Auburn found a way to win the ballgame on Saturday. And that's one of the big differences, I think, between this year's team, at least to this point, and last year's ball club, which won an SEC tournament championship for Auburn. This is a better, well-rounded Auburn basketball team that found a way to win a game on Saturday against the number six team in the country.
I would think that cold shooting, though, Andy, you know, would sort of indicate like they had really good looks and couldn't convert. I thought those were just two of the best perimeter defense teams you're going to see all season long in college basketball. I was asked on the Doug show earlier today, like, did Tennessee provide a blueprint for teams to defend Auburn's offense the rest of the season? And to me, it's like when Georgia's defense has a strong performance, it's like, yeah, the blueprint is get some really good players and play defense like Ziegler and Mayshak and the rest of the gang.
I thought it was great defending by Tennessee and also Auburn not taking advantage of the open opportunity.
But I didn't come away from that game thinking either of those teams couldn't shoot. You know, I think that those are two really high level perimeter defenses that are going to make it And Andy mentioned the Tennessee threes. Both of the Lanier, I mean, those were artillery shells, right? Like, those things were bombs from – and in a game where only seven threes go in, they all represent gigantic momentum shifts.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I don't know if he mentioned this to the media afterward. He mentioned it on his postgame show with us. But the possibility is teams, you know, scout Auburn, and they're scout Auburn well. And, you know, he said his bag of tricks is only so big. Which was an interesting perspective. Did he mention that with you guys?
He did. He said that teams have figured out Auburn and they got to find a plan B, and a plan C, and a plan D. And I'm sure that's something that they're going to work on this week.
Yeah, he said the same thing to us before he came to you. So, I mean, listen, we're about halfway through the full season. And we're six games into the Southeastern, six of 16 games into the Southeastern Conference season. There are times you've got to make changes. This league is too good this year for you just to rely on your talent against the other team's talent. There are times you've got to make some changes. And I guarantee you that Auburn is looking into doing that right now.
Well, it's great to have Janai back. I mean, he obviously wasn't at 100%. Saw a ball come out of bounds in your direction that I felt like, you know, before he was hurt, he had that ended up going out of bounds that he couldn't save. But, I mean, just to see him back and to have him be able to play 33 minutes after, you know, coming in, not starting the game and sitting out the first few minutes, I thought was tremendous. But I also think it's very fortunate for Auburn that the Tigers don't play until Wednesday night. I think it's much better to have that extra day for everybody to try to recuperate from that physical game the other night.
No question about it. You know, he played more minutes, I think, than they anticipated that he would. But they said the same thing going into Purdue. How much would he play against Purdue? And he ended up logging regular minutes against Purdue in that ball game in Birmingham. And he really... He with us on the post game, he really complimented Janai and Clark Pearson and the athletic training staff at Auburn and Mike Goodlett for getting him ready for that game. Because until Thursday last week, where he actually was out there and working out with the team a little bit, and it wasn't much, I don't think there was much thought that he would. Now, Janai told us Tennessee was always the game in his mind to play. But that's a heck of a job in a two-week span after that injury that looked pretty gruesome at South Carolina to get him ready to play 33 minutes against the sixth-ranked team in the country. If you're playing a non-Power 4 team, that's a whole lot different than playing that game against number six Tennessee at that setting at Auburn. And the fact that he went 33 minutes and did Janai things, I thought was amazing, and hats off to everybody for getting him ready to play that ball game Saturday.
Janai things, including assisting on the game winner to Miles Kelly. But he's so effective around the basket. The paint is his office. You could call it the broom closet, right? Like that's what he's
good.
That's what he's got in the lane there, Andy.
If that makes it on the broadcast, know where it came from.
That's right. Let's talk a little bit about LSU. I mean, they played Alabama. I mean, really, down, you know, right down to the wire the other night, was tied at the half, and they end up losing by 7. They don't have a great record, but as everyone in the SEC has, you know, has learned here through the first third of the season, it's tough going on the road and expecting to come away with a win.
An interesting mix of young and old on this team as well, because Curtis Givens III moved into the starting lineup back on the 11th in a game against Ole Miss at the point guard spot. And he took over for Jordan Sears, who is the leading scorer on the ball club at 14 points a ball game, a transfer from UT Martin. And is coming off the bench, and he has more threes than anybody, is scoring more points than anybody, and has more assists than anybody. But it's interesting. They've started to – I think they've become more competitive with Givens in the lineup, but they also have two seniors in Jai Bailey and Cam Carter. But they're really led by their inside, Damian Collins, who's a junior from Atlanta, Texas, and Corey Chest, who's a redshirt freshman from New Orleans. They don't have a lot of threes in the lineup other than Carter, who has 47. But this is not the greatest outside shooting team, but they are good on the inside with Collins, who's third in the league in two-point field goals at, I think he's almost 70% from the field, and Chest, who is his 10th in the SEC in two-point field goals at 63%. So it's those two inside guys that are doing a load of the scoring right now. Now, listen, Sears comes off the bench. He's a senior out of Daytona Beach, and he will give them a huge lift. Now, we'll see if that's the lineup that they go with, but I think that's the lineup that they went with at Alabama and were very, very competitive against Alabama until maybe the last couple minutes of that game. It's the kind of game that really concerns me because when you're on the road two straight games and that second game on the road is Ole Miss, which has just traditionally been a very, very tough place for Auburn to play. And it's an Ole Miss team that is ranked 23rd in the country in spite of the fact that it's lost three straight games and it stays in the top 25. It's the kind of game, it's a sandwich game. You come off of the most emotional game of the year at home in front of the jungle, just a crazy atmosphere on Saturday against Tennessee, and you're still on the road on Saturday at Ole Miss. It's the kind of game that can be a sandwich game because it's a team that's 1-5 in the Southeastern Conference. So this is one of those, in my opinion, that Bruce Pearl has to coach them up even more to get them ready for this game. We'll find out just how ready they are when they play Wednesday night at 6.
Chest is a classic example to me of a guy who you would have looked at in a previous era and you would have said, boy, as a sophomore or junior, he's going to be really, really special. Started 14 games this season as a true freshman for LSU, leads the team in rebounding. This is a really, I mean, he's going up against some seasoned heavyweights at, you know, down low on Wednesday night. I want to see how it goes for him. And if LSU can protect the paint against Janai, against Dylan, and you know what? We didn't talk about it too much. Huge Chaney Johnson game.
Oh, I thought so too.
On Saturday. How about the Chain gang?
Well, the only other player on Auburn's roster that was in double figure scoring other than Janai on Saturday was the game that Chaney Johnson had. And you had to wonder, you know, I mean, he got the start, but he also gave up some minutes because Janai played 33, and yet he was just vitally important to Auburn going up against, you know, the big, big lineup for Tennessee. The Chest player you're talking about, Dan, he's a redshirt freshman. So he's 1 year older. He redshirted a year ago for LSU.
You don't see redshirts often in men's basketball.
He's out of New Orleans, but he played at Link Academy. I think it's in Branson, Missouri, which is one of those basketball factories that you see now, along with Montverde Academy and the Compass AZ and Prolific Prep on the West Coast. So this guy is a load. He comes out. He had 18 rebounds at Alabama on the road at Alabama on Saturday. So going up against a big lineup, and Alabama's big on the inside.
They are.
That was no trouble for him.
You think he's a big? You think he's a big Andy Williams guy, being from Branson, or is that that's for nobody? By the way, that's for
Andy Williams.
Well, I have actually seen the Andy Williams home 70? On the White River in Branson.
He's older than all of us. Oh my! Hey, he's been out of town for quite a while. Andy, tomorrow you guys are going to be en route to Baton Rouge, so that's why we've got you on here today. But I mean, it is a busy time. There's so much going on now in Auburn athletics as we're about to get spring sports cranked up, as basketball is hitting the midpoint, gymnastics getting into they're getting into conference play shortly. I mean, there are a lot of things going on right now.
Yeah, softball's about a week and a half away from opening its season. The Kate and Chris Malvo era opens a week from Friday. Chris will join us, by the way, on Tiger Talk Thursday night at a Baumhauer. So we'll get a preview from one of Auburn's co-head softball coaches on Thursday night. But and then the week after that, the next Friday, then Auburn baseball opens up, and the Tigers this past weekend with 3 days of practice at Plainsman Park that is continuing to be worked on, and from what I gather will be worked on until maybe the day before the season begins. Hopefully it's just one day before the season begins, because we're all in either new spaces or altered spaces. Those of us on the show today.
Yeah, you're going to be for Holy Cross to open up this season. Right? Just sort of sharing the space.
We are, yeah. Our booth has been cut in half now, so with both home and visiting radio in what used to be the old home radio booth. So a lot of changes going on at Plainsman Park, but looking forward to what Butch Thompson puts on the field. I think this is going to be, and Brian, I've seen you mention this as well, I think this is going to be a dramatically better Auburn baseball team going into this season.
I love the potential to have 12, 13 guys in the lineup that can all swing the bat. You know, we'll see who ends up being starters. And, I think they have depth in the pitching staff too.
Yeah, looking forward to the, to the SEC transfers, as well as, some of the other newcomers and some guys after a year's experience. Yeah, I think the lot of excitement for an SEC baseball schedule that's going to be very similar to basketball. I mean, it is just loaded, this conference, top to bottom.
Yeah, when you start your year with Vanderbilt, you jump in the deep end right off the bat in the Southeastern Conference. And then that weekend down in Arlington, Texas, I think will give us a good indication about this Auburn baseball team as well. That's always highly competitive. Auburn has played well in this atmosphere before. I'm sure these guys are looking forward to playing on a major league ballpark. I know Brad's looking forward to calling baseball from a major league park again. So I always look forward to this time of the year. It becomes incredibly busy, but boy, if you can't have fun, at this time of the year, you need to get out of the business, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right. You mentioned Tiger Talk. What else? Give us a rundown of everything else going on with the Auburn Network.
Yeah, the Talking Tigers podcast this week is with Auburn's Director of High School Relations and the Pro Liaison, a former Auburn walk-on, Brent Bedsole, who came to Auburn in 1985 and played for Coach Dye as a walk-on, primarily as a safety in a lot of special teams, and now has been back to work for Tommy Tuberville and Brian Harsin, and now, of course, with Coach Breeze. And just some interesting stories and just how those guys work and gals work together in football. Coming up on Monday, the Nun, Susan Nunley. You talk about an Auburn person. Good gosh. Came to Auburn and played in the marching band. Was a very good athlete coming out of high school. An Auburn basketball coach, has done PA for Auburn women's basketball for 54 years. Was the director, was the coordinator of officials in the SEC for a while. Was the cheerleader sponsor and the Aubie sponsor for a while. Of course, the director of a long time director of Auburn Intramurals. So a lot of stories from the Nun coming up on Monday. And we took a cue from what you did, Bill, on the show the day that it was announced that Larry Blakeney would go into the College Football Hall of Fame as a coach, primarily, of course, as Troy's coach. And Larry's coming in to do the Talking Tigers podcast with us this week, and look forward to getting to talk with Larry about an amazing career and a Hall of Fame career that's certainly well-deserved. So that's all coming up. We're on the air at 6:30 Wednesday night, Auburn and LSU from Baton Rouge. And then we'll be on the air Thursday night, Tiger Talk at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Chris Malvoa and Bruce Pearl set to join us on Thursday. Maybe we're working on an Auburn player, basketball player, perhaps to join us Thursday night. And then on Saturday, it's Auburn at Ole Miss, and our coverage starts at 12:30.
Sounds good, Andy. Thanks a lot for joining us here this afternoon. You guys have a great trip.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day. War Eagle.
Take care.
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us here on this Monday edition of The Drive. We are way behind, but wanted to get as much time as we could there with Andy. We'll get to break as we continue here from Franklin Tire on the Monday Drive.
At University
BN 1067
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
We can talk, we talked a little bit about NFL.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can talk, we talked a little bit about NFL.
Let's start there, you're right, we could talk a little bit of NFL before we go to break,
but Brian, what did you cover in the what did you cover in your Monday your Monday musings?
Well, in the column I just talked a little bit about Mike Slive and his mandate. I guess it's been about a dozen years ago now.
Yeah, when the it was time for the SEC to become more competitive, and he wanted more of an emphasis placed on all sports, not just football.
Many programs had conceded the league to Kentucky and Florida, right? I mean, you think about when Donovan was there and Calipari was rolling, teams were just not willing to. I think at an institutional level, programs weren't willing to do what it takes to compete for the SEC championship. Not enough programs were willing to do it, and Slive sort of challenged them to put some of that ESPN revenue towards making the league a top-tier basketball program.
And Pearl was hired just days after that, and I think Auburn has benefited and taken advantage of that opportunity as good as any school in SEC. My musical portion is
that,
an easy
that stretch,
one.
Before you get to the music, that stretch of hires from like 14 to 18, right after that mandate, which includes guys like Will Wade, includes guys like Eric Musselman at Arkansas, and you know, and includes guys who have done, you know, Rick Barnes is in that mix as well, who was an established winner in college basketball when he got to Tennessee, and they've turned their programs into, you know, Nate Oates is in the tail end.
Just better coaches, better players. You know, SEC is just a different conference now, and
guys who had done a lot of winning before they got that job, right? Like, no disrespect to guys who got head coaching jobs in the SEC from 2000 to 2015, but you can point to a clear track record. Like, you can point to the standard was raised as far as what you need to have accomplished to be an SEC head coach. Look at Mark Byington. I mean, guy was a dominant mid-major coach, and he had to win a lot to get the Vandy job, and he's doing a really good job at Vandy, but I mean, that's a guy who might have been considered for other jobs in the past, but the standard's raised, and now it's a league full of coaches who have accomplished a tremendous amount in their careers.
And why is this important? Well, it brings a whole lot more money to the SEC at a time that revenue sharing is starting, and it needs – well, you could say it needs more money or you're not, but they think it needs more money.
You got a vested interest in how far each team goes in the NCAA tournament at the college level, especially the men's tournament, that cash cow. So yeah, that's something that matters. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be a one bid league watching the ACC and the Big 12 and the Big 10 have all the fun, and that's completely changed. I went with the music.
The musical portion would be easy for y'all to guess.
I've not looked it up.
34 years ago.
You did look it up?
I've not looked it up.
Oh, okay.
34 years ago today was maybe the greatest all time performance of the Star Spangled Banner.
That's Whitney Houston.
Yes, in Tampa, Buffalo, and
is it 91?
Yeah,
yeah.
91,
he said
the Gulf, the first Gulf War was going on.
Yeah, Kuwait was happening.
And hey, before you continue too far,
Buffalo
Giants. How about a shout out to the performance the other night?
Yeah, it was incredible
at Neville Arena. Yep. Fantastic.
There's been some incredible ones.
Fantastic.
Yeah. An amazing anthem. Absolutely. Shout out to Saturday night and then the show.
That was Scott Norwood, the miss from 47 yards.
That's right.
Yeah.
Poor Buffalo. I'm sorry to bring that up to any Bills fans out there right now, because that's tough.
That was the Giants, right? Breaking the I think the Cowboys.
That was the first of four straight Super Bowl losses for Buffalo.
And this is their, I believe this was their, it would have been their first Super Bowl since then. Had they won yesterday? I think they've been to a conference championship game. Maybe not. Since that streak of Jim Kelly.
Been to it.
That last fourth down play, I don't understand. They had four wide, right? It looked like KC had only two defenders out there at the time. And then they rotated a guy out and they went the other direction and got smashed.
The guy still could have caught it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It looked like desperation. He just misjudged the ball. But
you don't want to. And just like with the Baltimore game, like you don't want to blame. You don't want it all to come down to that one play.
So many
things happened throughout. But Buffalo is certainly looking at you. If you're Buffalo, I think you have to look at Josh Allen. You have to say, like, how long can this guy hang on as a top tier quarterback that gives us a chance to win?
Put some better players around him.
Well, every year you've got a shot. Yeah. Right, I think it's just like with the Colts and Peyton Manning, even with Tom Brady winning Super Bowls with Belichick, every year you got Peyton Manning, you got a shot. Every year you got Drew Brees, you got a shot. Every year you have Aaron Rodgers, you had a shot. So they've got one of those guys. But your Scott Van Pelt made a great point last night. There were some great golfers that finished in the top five or the top three when Tiger was in his prime, and never won one. Right, like they would finish. There's some really really good golfers that watch Tiger Woods win over and over again, and maybe the Tiger Woods of quarterbacking is playing in the Super Bowl.
I'm not going to argue that. The Bills, we'll see.
No, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I think there's Lamar Jackson's in the same boat.
Oh, I know.
Right? Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are phenomenal. I guess the Jordan Bulls are probably a good example too, right? Like, you think about those players that didn't win a championship in the 90s. Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, John Stockton, Karl Malone. Yep. Like, great, great, all-time greats. Mm-hmm. Jordan was there. Jordan wasn't sharing. And you got something like that happening right now in Kansas City.
Oh yeah, absolutely. As they go for the three-peat. All right, we're going to go for our bottom of the hour break and get caught back up. Love for you to join in again.
Don't you have to pay Pat Riley or something when you use three-peat promotionally or something?
he probably wishes you did.
I think someone got a trademark on that back in the Lakers. Yeah. I'm going to look that one up during the
That's something to check.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive as we continue here on this Monday from Franklin Tire. We were talking with David a while ago, and Dan was asking, is there anything that particular after you have this extreme cold that you should be concerned with? And, it's things like, I'll tell you one thing that you did notice when it got really cold is the air in your tires.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
when it went from, fall, nice, cold.
From some to none in your tires. Yeah.
I mean, it's like they dropped, it's like almost a third of the air they had in them. But, I mean, that's when you get all of a sudden the really cold weather, that's when you go, gee, I wish you hope you're not going, man, I wish I'd upgraded those tires and had a little tread on them, because we were driving through some crazy stuff. But, I mean, they can take care of whatever you need with your vehicle here. Obviously, great selection of tires. But, I mean, anything on your car, in your car, they can take care of, and a great body shop as well here at Franklin Tire. And they've got the overnight drop where you can bring your car here. They've got a drop box where you can fill out what the problem is, put the keys in the envelope and drop it in there so that it's here first thing the next morning.
Make sure people have the phone number saved in their phones, Bill. What is it?
Do you I believe if it's it's 334-821-4572.
That's right. And then you can have that for the tow truck.
I don't have that in front of me. I have called that many times over the years.
Yeah, Bill was doing that from muscle memory as far as how long it's been. But yeah, hopefully that's one you don't want to need it.
No, that's right.
But if you
24-hour towing as well.
If something pops up, and you know what we've had people tell us too, if you're not in the area but you care about somebody in the Auburn Opelika area,
yeah, or if you're going to have somebody in the area, I mean, you know, we have listeners all over the place, or folks that have been here are pretty much going to know about it. But if maybe you've got a youngster that's here, you know, hasn't been here for a while, and you want to make sure that they have a place to take their vehicle if there's any concerns.
It's that season too, right? It's the next 60, 90 days or so. Folks might be getting that news as far as
they know
where they're going to be next fall. So yeah, Franklin Tire and Auto, really, really appreciate being able to do the show here. Thanks for thanks to everybody here. And we love getting the chance to come out here.
Yeah. All right. Now, one of the things we talked about early on, Brian, I mean, it was a very busy junior day. It was a big football recruiting weekend for Auburn as well, as they had some of the most high-profile underclassmen in the country coming in. These are guys that would be the class of 26 that would sign either this coming December, most likely, or some of them might wait until February, a couple of guys are.
A lot of them will make their decisions at the end of the summer.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them make decisions before then. But, yeah. I mean, this is big to be able to get them in, and it sounded like things went really well. For what was the final number?
I have not seen that.
I'd seen anywhere somewhere in the 30
something
range.
Yeah, somewhere up there. A very talented group of visitors. A bunch of big old linemen. I was over there early and saw some guys walk through. I mentioned Omar Mabson just looked incredible. Like he's really put on some good weight in the last 6 months since I saw him at camp this summer. You know, some guys, you know, I wasn't there for it. You know, I was covering basketball, but some guys to keep a close eye on. Jaden Broadnax is a four-star, you know, top 100 type safety or top 200 type safety from West Boca Raton, Florida. He was up here. I think Auburn's in really good shape there. Sidarian Morgan is a very tall, athletic receiver from
Benjamin Russell.
Yep, and he's one. I don't know when he's going to make a decision, but he's a guy Auburn's recruiting really well. It seems like Marcus Davis is recruiting every top wide receiver in the country right now.
Any belief that there's a connection with Malcolm, since they're both Ben Russ guys?
Yeah, and Morgan's been over here a bunch too. So I'm sure Auburn's already starting to feel like a second home to him.
And
You want to try to get to Jerry before we get to
break? Yeah, let's do. Let's get to Jerry before we get to our final break. Hey, Jerry.
Jerry.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to see if there's a running back from Wadley that is really good. He's running back and linebacker, and I was wondering if he came to Junior Day.
I saw. I'm trying to recall his name, but I'm not sure that he was. It was a very strong list.
Yeah, Jaquaz Wilkes is a 6'4", 220-pounder. We got him as a athlete because he could probably play in a lot of different positions, including outside linebacker type position or be an offensive guy. But
top 100 player in the ballpark.
I do not know if he was here or not.
What I said. I didn't see that he was, but it's hard to say that one thing that I doubt that Auburn doesn't know about anybody who is highly thought of.
He's been here. Yeah, they're recruiting really hard. Yeah.
Yeah, he got 300 yards rushing in the championship game. And he was nominated for a player offensive player of the year. I don't know if he got it or not, but he's outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
He is. He's a terrific player. I know Coach Freeze went by to see him about 3 or 4 days ago at his school. I think he got an offer from Alabama actually today. Auburn's already offered him, I'm pretty sure. So he's going to be one of the top in-state targets here for both schools and, of course, plenty of out-of-state schools too.
Yeah, sure would like to see him come to Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
bye, see Jerry. Y'all. Good hearing from you. All right, we need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Still a little bit of time left, so stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air rally.